I've been sharing the last couple of weeks and often around the theme, you know, after Easter and around the time of Easter, I've been just sharing just on the implications and talking a little bit about the resurrection. So the title in your email, I think last week and this week, is Easter Opens Our Eyes. And it's something that I've been reflecting on. I probably share it with you every year. I don't know. But it's incredible how the events of that week and that weekend just change the way that we see our world. It really is, I mean, you can use the phrase, a game changer, you know. But it sometimes I don't think we realize. Because, you know, we come to this sort of after the party, so to speak, you know, and we look back and often we come into the faith and, you know, we hear the stories about Jesus and we hear the connections with children getting mutilated and, you know, we see all of this stuff and to us it makes all kinds of sense. But can you imagine the first followers of Jesus? I mean, to them, it opened their eyes to how they saw their world. And that's what I want to keep, you know, sharing with us, what I was saying last week and this week again, is that Easter, the resurrection, I mean, you can say, yes, the whole week of the entry into Jerusalem, the trial of Jesus, his death, and then his resurrection, and then the ascension and Pentecost. But the Easter event, the resurrection event, changed the way God's people understood God, how they saw one another. It changed the nature of who Israel was, who the people of God were, what community and family and church looked like. And it literally changed the way they saw their world. And sometimes I think we need to just go back to that, like, awe. And just go like, wow. Isn't this incredible? Isn't this amazing? So this morning, I'm going to get into trouble. I'm just going to, I don't know. Because I've got, as I was thinking about it yesterday, I thought I've got like three sermons, you know. But the story of Luke chapter 24 is something that just resonates with me. Alex said to me, I think it was before Easter, he said, oh, right, you're going to preach on the road to Emmaus again. He says, don't you do that every year? I'm like, what an opportunity. It's like I should do it like every month, you know. So I'm not really sharing that whole text and the story. But just a phrase, you know, if you picture what happened that week, that, you know, the beginning of the week, there was this expectation. People had followed Jesus. Multitudes of them. And at different times, there were two or three with him, and then there were 12, and there were many that followed him. There were many that listened to him. And then it culminated in this week where when he came into Jerusalem, he was heralded as the Messiah. They really thought, wow, this is what we need. This is the culmination of God's promises to us. And then the trial and the crucifixion. And for Jewish people, for people that were steeped in God's scriptures, in his word, the way they saw, the way they expected God to work, it was just the end of the world. Literally, their hopes were crushed. They were left devastated, empty, finished. That Easter Saturday, I mean, the followers of Jesus, even those on the fringes that had heard him, those at Palm Sunday that had stood from afar and maybe just watched all they were just dumbfounded. They had no answers. And they had no hope. And then, this is where we don't get it. We just look back. And then that Easter Sunday, and the woman starting to tell these stories, and, you know, the bear, the big guns, the guys that were like the sort of holy trinity of the disciples and that kind of thing. I mean, they were just going, what the heck, And then running to the tomb. And then the questions afterwards. And I think in that first day, and what Luke 24 picks up is that there's the sense of, it was almost like confusion and expectation and rumors and what? And now here's a couple walking away from Jerusalem. Luke says, on the road to Emmaus. And there's two disciples. Tradition often tells us that it's a man and his wife. Some later commentators even think they know exactly who it is, and that doesn't matter. But they're walking, and the stranger meets them, and they have this conversation. They start having this chat, And he says to them, and they're talking, and they're going like, we don't know what's happened. There's this sense of just unbelief and confusion and hopelessness, but we've heard the story. And the stranger says, what events happened? And they're like incredulous. Like, have you been living under a rock? Really? And that is my like translation of their response. Like, where have you been, basically? And then Jesus says to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses, all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all of Scripture concerning himself. I mean, that, I just want one day to have like some kind of, all these questions that came up in the prayer meeting. I want like a 3D, Star Wars experience or something like that in eternity, that Jesus, God just transposes me. And they replay that walk. I just love that, hey? Neil and I, we're going to be there. And I just want to walk. I want them to replay that. And I just want to walk behind them and just listen. Say, what did he unpack? What did he unpack for them? And it's quite profound, because then later in the day, the same thing happens. So the disciples are gathered, they're behind locked doors, because now it's like a bit of crisis. So now they gather together, they lock the doors, and they're like, okay, things are going seriously pear-shaped, because the tomb is empty, the women have seen Jesus, and now all of this stuff's happening. Then all of a sudden, Jesus appears behind locked doors, and he's like, hello. And it's just such a, you can sit with Luke 24 for just weeks and just think of the story. But anyhow, again, he says to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Now he says to the guys on the road to Emmaus, he says, but didn't you see in Scripture that the Messiah would have to suffer? It's there. You didn't see it. So let's chat. And hours and hours. I don't know, someone said 6 hours, or I don't know what the, do you remember what the distance is? Okay? It was not a 30-minute sermon. Okay? And here again, he says to the disciples that had gathered, "But I told you while I was with you, everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. And then he says this, he told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer, rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. I'm going to send you what the Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." So in this time of confusion, crisis, turmoil, Jesus takes his followers back into Scripture. And for me, that is, it's quite a profound thought. In times just of change, it can be turmoil, or it could be just times of just different seasons, different directions, or new expectations. Jesus takes his followers back into Scripture. Says, "Hey, let's look at the story." And the thing that I love about the Emmaus thing is that it just parallels what's been happening in Jesus' whole ministry, because Jesus is calling disciples and they literally follow him. They walk with him, but he calls them to be followers. And we are defined. We shouldn't be defined as believers in terms of like this creed or that doctrine. Because, you know, people fight and disagree, and then it becomes like an intellectual argument. We should be defined by followership. Our whole lives are about following Jesus. And so, I mean, this is just in tis and huckies. So what I believed months ago and years before that, and you, might be different. Like, because I'm following and understanding and walking with Jesus and beginning to see these dots and these patterns and how the story connects. So to go back to the Jews again, they had a re-look at the way they'd read Scripture. So Easter literally opened their eyes. And Jesus, as Messiah and risen Lord, was like, "Look at this. Let me show you what God has done." And I want to get into this morning, and maybe we'll get into it next week, but it's not like God was doing one thing and now he's doing something else. There's this faithful story of what we sang this morning. God is faithful. He's consistent. He's unchanging. He's had this plan. Just, you know, Jesus' closest disciples were so caught up often in where they fit in the story and how they thought it was going to happen that they missed half of it. And Jesus was saying, "That was there. I was actually been telling you this the whole time." Okay? You just weren't listening. But after Easter, these Jewish believers were like, "Wow, this changes everything." I mean, it literally changed. We are here. We're not worshiping Zeus or Apollo or something like that because we're Gentiles. Because of Easter. Because Easter just blew the whole thing open. And then we understand, but from Abraham's covenant, and this is what God always intended to save his world. His plan was always the nations. His plan was the whole world. This is what he says here, is that until this message, till what he has done is preached to all the world, and we are here because of the fulfillment of this. But you see, we're so clever. But I am. Okay. I just think, well, I just see all of it. It just kind of makes sense. And I miss the wonder and the awe of those first disciples going, wow, this changes everything. And so I keep pushing into that, because then think of us who, you know, I just think of how much I thought I knew 10 years ago, and how I look at it now, and I go, every time I read these stories and go, and I just see something else. And so there's a real sense that as we walk with Jesus, he continues to open our eyes to see how I preached a few weeks ago and on Easter and after that, and I keep touching on it, this theme of temple and garden and being gardeners, and last week being in, have the profound privilege to walk with this risen Lord who is spoken about throughout Scripture, and go, wow, this is a game changer. But how much more, also in the different seasons of our lives and the different junctures and in times of confusion or crisis and that. So, I don't know. I can be a bit up and down. All of you probably very consistent and stable. I can be a bit all, and you know, so there are times that I go, whew, I feel like God and I are like this, understand everything, we're tight. And the other times that you just go like, my goodness, what is happening? You know, do you have days and you just feel like someone pulled the rug out and you're like, could anything else go wrong? Or in a more emotional, we're feeling confused, we're feeling disjointed. There are times, I know some of you are at these points of moving to different places or retiring, or you can be changing jobs or any kind of turmoil. And I think, what did Jesus do? He said, let's go back into the story. Why don't you walk with me and just show you what God has been doing? And then where we enter into that story, where we become. So, Lord, there's this whole story, this, you know, from the Torah and the prophets and the Psalms, and even to now, as you're walking on the road with Jesus. And what has that to do with me? And that is where we're meant to be. We are meant to be like those first disciples that are going, he opened our eyes to this journey now, to this path now. So, I just want to sound like, you know, you might be, kids are going into school and they're changing school, or, you know, it could be there's a crisis meeting coming. When I think of crisis meetings, I always think of Bev, she's got some crisis, or, you know, or there's something happening with family situations, or you're just going, well, this is where I've been for the last few years, but I don't know what this next phase is. And I often feel like a lot of us are there. And I feel like, you know, we're there every few years, maybe in a different sense. But you know, I mean, so I'm 27 this year, or what is it? 28. 20. Am I 28 this year? Okay, I don't know where we go from that. Let's just go have tea, you know. But you know, I mean, in that, I mean, we sit and we go, like, so. Like, so I sit, and people that I'm talking to, and we think, so there's this new phase, or there's a new opportunity. So, like, what is it? What is my place in the story? Because as he rose, he did this awful, awful thing. And he was like, there you go. I'm leaving it up to you. It's like Eden all over again. And that was the picture of the garden. It's like, this is yours. You meant to work and live and minister and thrive with me in my world. But you've got the authority and the work. And that's exactly where we find ourselves. And so in a strange way, whether you're, you know, kids are at high school or you're moving into an old age home, you know, and you don't have kids to worry about, or I don't know if that ever happens. I don't know, my experience is you're always worrying about your kids, but maybe it'll change. One day they'll, will they ever worry about us? That's another story, anyhow. But it's like, you know, the point is that you see in this, it's like God doesn't, like his story doesn't really talk about retirement. It just talks about different phases and different seasons of our lives. And so the massive challenge is to say again, I would like to read Genesis and Exodus and Isaiah and the Gospels and that, but walking with Jesus and saying, what is it that you have to open my eyes to this season that I'm in? It was a new day for the believers. It was crisis and confusion. But in our, we live in that new day. We live in the Easter moment of saying, open our eyes to the story and my role in the story. And so a few weeks ago, we become gardeners in creation. Or last week, we become, Paul says outrightly, instruments of righteousness. Or the bigger ways, the easier ways that you think of it. We're his body, we're his hands and feet, that kind of thing. And I had a whole lot that I wanted to go into, which I'm not going to this morning. We have a role to play. Otherwise, he either just would have stayed and run things, but he ascended and he didn't take us with him. And he's like, off you go. So let's pray this morning and really just ask, Will you walk with us? Will you open our eyes again? And let us see, like, you know, how to have a revelation of how to turn your cell phone on silent. Or just, what is it that you have for me in this phase of my life? And that's our prayer. And I think my sense this morning is that there are a few of us that feel there's a new season.